Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence, all of you who are with us in person, and those of you who are joining us online. We are making our way through the season after Epiphany. As you can see, it's already the third Sunday after. Christmas was a month ago yesterday. I don't know quite how that happened. But that means that next week, on Sunday, it's the actual day that we celebrate the presentation of Jesus. So 40 days after Jesus would have been born, Joseph and Mary take him to the temple, and that's where Simeon and Anna bless him and claim prophetic words over him. And so since that day falls on a Sunday this year, we're going to celebrate that next Sunday. That Sunday is also known as Candlemas. Right, if you remember the term mass means go, you are sent out. And on the presentation of Christ Sunday, it's an ancient practice for the church to bless all of the candles that will be used for the next year in worship. And so we're gonna have some of the oil out here and we're gonna bless that. But if any of you have candles at home that you would like to bring, and we can bless those next Sunday as well. Hopefully most of you saw in your email that Pastor Hoyle died this past week. He served here at Holly Grove from 1970 to 1978, and his memorial service will be April 5th in Dallas, North Carolina. So all of that information was sent out in the Holly Leaf as well, but if you have any questions, we can help you find that in the Holly Leaf. We have a few birthdays this week. Mary Ellen Hinson, who is in Asheville because her granddaughter graduated high school yesterday, so she's going through an exciting time. So Mary Ellen Hinson, Eddie Summers, William Henty, and James Palmer. There are no anniversaries this week, and Andrew Curry is remembering his baptism. Oh, April's raising her hand. Yes, that's right. Yes. So Bill is at home. I know Dottie is thrilled, and I'm sure that they would love a visit. Just a reminder, Bill has dialysis Monday, Wednesday, Friday during the day, and he's pretty tired those afternoons, so if you wanted to go probably a Tuesday, Thursday, or sometime on the weekend would be best. And I can also announce that Janine Hamilton is home. Janine was rushed to the hospital Thursday or Friday. You know, she'd been sort of incrementally getting better, and all of a sudden she was worse. And her doctor said, just go straight up to Winston, to Baptist Hospital. Her sodium was dangerously low, so they were working on bringing that back up and are still trying to get to the bottom of why she's feeling so bad and why her vertigo has been so severe and why this episode has lasted so long. So. It's very safe to say that Janine is sick and tired of being sick and tired, and she is just really, really tired and fatigued. I offered to go over there this afternoon, and she said, I'm so tired, maybe later this week. So we pray for rest for her and for answers as well. All right, let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. For those of you at Sunday school, you heard that the council has approved a new heating system to be installed, so hopefully that will be happening soon. Oh, Jane has an announcement about some soup to support Special Olympics. All right. Yeah, so Super Bowl Sunday is February 9th. That means that that our annual audits will be that day, so if you're an account treasurer, your audits are due that day. Every committee or group at the church, your annual report is due that day. And after worship on the 9th, the fellowship committee is hosting a soup and sandwich lunch. And we're also having youth group on that day, breakfast for supper. So if you're in the youth group, come for that. We love to eat, do we not? So we've got several prayer shawls here. We'll put my memory to the test and see if I can remember all of these. Of course, I remember Millie. This is a prayer shawl for Robert and Kelly's granddaughter, who is almost 3 months old, maybe 3 months old, almost four. Time is weird in my brain, but Millie is a precious, precious baby who we have prayed for a very long time and is a gift to all of her family. Brantley, you want to hold that one for me? This is for Joan Briggs, who is Jack Briggs' wife, and she is turning 80. She's actually having a birthday party today, so she'll get this at her birthday party. But she also has Parkinson's. And so Marie says this prayer shawl is killing two birds with one stone, her 80th birthday and praying for Parkinson's. This is for Ruby Perkins, who is neighbor to Sandra and Tony and Dean, and she has cancer, so we pray for her. Can I give you one more, buddy? This is for Joe Davis, who is having outpatient surgery on his neck this week. He's been having a lot of pain, and my understanding is that this surgery will help alleviate some of that pain. And Tony Wright, this is Gyla's niece's father-in-law, and he's having some health issues, and so we pray for Tony Wright. All right, are we ready? Let's pray. God, we thank you for the gift of prayer, that you always hear us when we come to you, and you're waiting with open arms to hold us, especially in times of challenges and in times of health difficulties. And so we want to lift up all of these prayer shawls to you today and ask that you would bless each and every one of them, that you would be with Joe as he has surgery this week and as he recovers, that you would be with Ruby as she goes through treatment for cancer, that you would be with Tony and Joan as she navigates her way through Parkinson's disease. God, give them your peace and your hope and tangible reminders of your love. And may these prayer shawls be part of those tangible reminders that you love them and that we love and care for them here at Holly Grove. And we give thanks for our dear sweet sister, Millie, and ask that you would help her to grow like Jesus did, in wisdom and in stature, and in favor with you and all people. In Jesus' name, amen. If I'm not forgetting anything, I think we can prepare our hearts for worship by listening to the prelude. Herbert, do you have something? Men's group is meeting tomorrow night at 6:30 in the fellowship hall. I think there'll be a few things done to make it a little bit warmer, but wear a sweatshirt or a jacket just in case. Yes. Thank you. for the confession of sins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, whose steadfast love is everlasting. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God with us, we confess that we have turned away from those seeking shelter, claiming there is no room when we have plenty. You have made power and wealth our idols, while you show us true glory, a baby in a manger. We have overlooked the shepherds, expecting good news in prettier packaging. Too often, we have valued violence instead of your peace. Turn us from our ways to your ways. Grant us the grace to begin again. Free us from all that keeps us bound, and forgive our sin. Through Jesus Christ, who gives himself for us. Amen. Hear the good news and rejoice. You are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. You are forgiven in Christ and freed to respond in joy. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
let us pray. Blessed Lord God, you have caused the holy scriptures to be written for the nourishment of your people. Grant that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that comforted by your promises, we may embrace and forever hold fast to the hope of eternal life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, everybody. Can you remind me of your name? Jacob, that's right. I'm sorry, sometimes my memory is. So we got Jacob, good morning, Sawyer. Good morning, Kate and Cameron. And here comes Nathan. So there is a holiday coming up soon. Can you tell me what it is? Kate's outfit is a clue. It's got hearts all over it. Valentine's Day. So who's got a birthday?
Conrad's birthday.
Oh, that's right. Conrad's birthday is on Valentine's Day. So Valentine's Day is coming up. And what is Valentine's Day about? It's about love. Yes. I got this new book for you. I love children's books, and sometimes I can't help myself. And so I got this new book for the children's classroom, but it says L is for love. And in just a couple minutes, you guys are going to go to children's church, and we are going to hear a passage in the Bible that talks about love. And it's written kind of to be like a poem or a song, but the verbs are actually really strong action verbs. Do you know what action verbs are? A verb is something that causes us to do an action, like if we jump, or if we run, or if we spin, or if we dance, or if we sing. Well, love is a verb that makes us do actions too. And so it talks about how love makes us act kindly, and love acts patiently, and love does not insist on its own way. Now, you two are brothers, and you have brother and sister, and I know you have brothers, but they're too young to bug you, right? Okay. Is it always easy to love your brother and sister? Oh, Nathan says it is. I'm sure it is for you. You've got a sweet, sweet heart. It's not for you? Why is it not easy to love your siblings? Because they give you a hard time. Yes, they do. Is it always easy to love each other, Kate and Cameron? It is. Do you ever drive each other crazy? What? Cameron does? How does he drive you crazy? Sit up, Cameron. Come on. Well, the reason that love is something that we do is because it's not always easy. So it doesn't always come naturally to us. Love is something that we have to do and that we have to choose to do. And we do that in our families, but we do that in our church family too, because when we're baptized, God adopts us as God's children, and God makes us brothers and sisters to all of our church family and all of the church all over the world. And so just like we have to try hard sometimes to love our brothers and sisters at home, we have to try hard sometimes to love our brothers and sisters at church. Because even at church, people can drive each other crazy. That hasn't happened here before, has it? Kind of. So I want to tell you all that I love each of you, and that God loves you, and Holly Grove loves you. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church. Thank you for our families. At home and at church. Help us to love each other. When it's easy. And especially when it's hard. We love you, God. Amen. all right, you all can go to children's church. I think Susan has it today. Have a good time.
The New Testament lesson is from 1 Corinthians. It's one of my favorite passages. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I become an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you will say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things you have heard, we have heard you did in Capernaum.'" And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine all over the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them, except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Recently, on one of my streaming subscriptions, I rediscovered the television show Coach from the 80s and 90s. It's a really good show, and I've enjoyed rewatching it. And while I've been rewatching it, I've been reminded a couple of times about something that I had actually forgotten. You know how sometimes a story is too big or too long for one episode, and so at the end of the first episode, they end the show with the words, "to be continued." And way back when I was younger in the 1900s, before streaming was even a thing, you had to wait a whole week, or sometimes all summer, for the next episode. And that next episode always started with like something like, "On the last episode of Coach," and then they give you a summary of what happened last time to catch you up to speed for part two. Well, the folks who put the Revised Common Lectionary together, which is a 3-year cycle of scripture readings that we use every Sunday, it determines the scriptures that we use each day. In our gospel lesson for today, the story of Jesus going to the Nazareth synagogue, it's always on this Sunday in this year, every 3 years. And I don't know why, but they actually divided this story into two Sundays. The first part is this Sunday's gospel lesson. The second part I read was next Sunday's gospel lesson. They made this a two-parter. But I thought, since we're celebrating Candlemas next week, or the presentation of Jesus, let's combine them so we get the whole story today, because I didn't want to leave you hanging for 3 years to hear about part two, because then, if you're like me, I can't remember what I preach from 1 week to the next, let alone 3 years from now. So this story is not to be continued today. Jesus' public ministry in Luke begins in these verses, and these verses contain his very first words of his public ministry. He was a faithful Jew, and so every Sabbath he went to the synagogue. And we hear that he gets up, opens the scroll of the book of Isaiah, and intentionally finds the place he was looking for. Right? Jesus didn't have the Revised Common Lectionary telling him which verses to read. Jesus intentionally chose to read these verses in Isaiah. I think Jesus didn't want to lead anybody on or leave them in suspense. From the very beginning of his public ministry, Jesus tells them who he is and what his life and ministry will look like. In many ways, this is Jesus' mission statement. Now, if we were paying attention in Luke so far, this mission statement really shouldn't surprise us. We might avoid it or deny it or pretend it's not there, but it shouldn't surprise us because there have been several previews and hints or clues about who Jesus will be and what he will do. For example, just a few weeks ago, we read Mary's song, The Magnificat, in which she declares that God scatters the proud and God brings the powerful down from their thrones. God lifts up the lowly. God fills the hungry with good things. God sends the rich away empty. Mary's words, her song, remind us of who God has been and who God is and who God will be. Jesus didn't create his own mission statement or decide what kind of ministry plan or statement he would have. Jesus, the Word made flesh, both continues and fulfills the work that God has always been doing. Over and over and over again, we see in Scripture that God has always loved and cared for the outsiders and those on the margins, the poor and the hungry. Right? There are over 2,000 verses in Scripture that call us to care for the poor. Jesus isn't saying anything new here. What Jesus is doing is he is proclaiming the very heart of what his message and his ministry will be about. And it was actually going pretty well. Until he specified who the poor and the captives and the oppressed are. We see this crowd turn like on him in a dime. They didn't like what he was saying one little bit, and they became so enraged that they wanted to kill Jesus. Now, I can't remember my first sermon. I know it was my freshman year of college, and I'm sure it wasn't that good. Maybe it was okay for a first sermon, but I'm sure it wasn't that great. But it wasn't bad enough to ever get me killed. So maybe we can chalk it up to it wasn't such a bad first sermon after all. But Jesus' first sermon upset the people so much that they wanted to kill him. Right? Jesus told them something they didn't want to hear. And instead of listening with humility, instead of letting the gospel challenge them and hold them accountable, instead of letting the gospel convict them so that they might be more and more transformed into the likeness of God, they took offense at Jesus' words, and they became enraged to the point of wanting to kill him because Jesus' words revealed the ugliness of their hearts and the sin that was in them. Sneak peek for next week, we're going to hear the words of Simeon when he tells Mary that Jesus will be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. We're going to hear that next week, but we're seeing it lived out in today's gospel lesson. The people were angry with Jesus because he revealed the inner narratives that they told themselves and revealed to them the lies that they were. Jesus revealed to them how far away their hearts were from being like God's heart, because God's ways are not our ways. And Jesus was unwilling to go along with their way. Jesus was unwilling to change or to manipulate God's word to affirm the greed and the prejudice and the selfishness that they held tightly to in their hearts. Jesus refused to use God's word as a weapon to harm or exploit the poor, the oppressed, and the captives. And the people chose their response. They chose to kill him. Now, I know that the gospel can be hard to hear sometimes, but the truth is, it should be. It should be. The gospel isn't meant to give us warm fuzzies or to pat us on the back. The gospel is not meant to agree with our ways. The good news of Jesus Christ, it should challenge us, because the gospel shows us the truth of who God is and who God wants us to be and how God wants us to live. It shows us the truth about who we are as well, and the ways in which we aren't like Jesus, and the ways that we don't think or act or live like Jesus. In the waters of baptism, we are called to spend our lives growing more and more into the likeness of Jesus. The gospel often shows us the ways that we aren't like Jesus, so that we can repent and do different and be different. Now, a little caveat here, because maybe you struggle with this like I do. We need to fight the temptation to think about how the gospel should convict others and not us. How many times when you've been listening to a sermon or reading scripture, have you thought about how that applies to somebody else? So that you don't have to think about how it applies to yourself, right? It's easier to deflect than to humbly let God's word hold us accountable, right? It's a lot easier to recognize the greed or selfishness in someone else's heart than it is to recognize it and acknowledge it in our own. So, brothers and sisters, let the gospel challenge you. It's supposed to be difficult. If we're reading through scripture and something makes us bristly, if something makes us feel uncomfortable, if we get defensive or maybe even angry, that's what the gospel is supposed to do. And our response would hopefully be that we humbly sit with those uncomfortable or difficult feelings and figure out why they are difficult for us. Figure out why we're getting defensive. Why is this challenging me so much? So that we can name our sin, so that we can name our bias or our prejudice, so that we can ask for forgiveness and repent, so that we can do different and be different. So that the Holy Spirit and the gospel can transform us more and more into the likeness of Jesus, which jump off of the page in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and love is kind, and it is not arrogant or rude or boastful, does not insist on its own way. When we grow into Jesus, that's what we are to grow more into. And that's how we are to live our lives. Jesus is very clear about who he is and what he is about in the world. And God gives each of us the choice of how to respond. When we hear God's word, and it's challenging and convicting, will we become enraged and act out on it, like the folks in the gospel lesson? Will we be indifferent? Or will we follow Jesus? God gives us the choice. Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen. Thank you.
Living in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. God of eternal wisdom, we pray for your church, which is being transformed by your word. Bless the church with your wisdom and guidance. Let us notice and take part in the new things you are doing. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Your creation sustains us and all living creatures. Grant us humility to acknowledge the ways we bring harm to the earth. Grant us courage to make effective change so that all lands and living things prosper. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Embolden leaders of nations, corporations, and all in authority that they lovingly and mercifully tend those in their charge. Help them to respond to all who cry out in need. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
Provide for those whose hunger runs deep due to isolation, loneliness, or illness, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, John, Sandra, Janine, Rosala, Pam, Joe, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Send your spirits so that all are filled with presence and experience welcome from their communities. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the young people in our congregation. May their voices be celebrated. Give youth a place of honor and value among us. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We remember those who have gone before us, especially Pastor Charlie Hall. Let their faithful examples continue to bear witness to all. God of grace,
hear our prayer.
We entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among the people. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to move around a little bit and share the peace of Christ with one another. Peace be with you, buddy. Should we go give some peace to Judy? Those hugs are the best. And also with you. Peace be with you, Carol.
Thank you.
God of grace, your love reaches to the heavens and your abundance to the depths of the sea. Bless what we offer to your service, our gifts, our abilities, and our hearts. Let us overflow with gratitude and generosity now and always. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also
with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy One, the beginning and the end, the giver of life. Blessed are you for the birth of creation. Blessed are you in the darkness and in the light. Blessed are you for your promise to your people. Blessed are you in the prophet's hopes and dreams. Blessed are you for Mary's openness to your will. Blessed are you for your Son, Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Holy God, we long for your Spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. Amen. Lord, unite us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Come, eat this meal of gladness.
As I
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Nourishing God, at this table you have refreshed us with holy gifts of food and drink. Strengthen us for service and send us out to embody your good news of liberation and healing for the sake of the world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
The Spirit of the Triune God bless you with joy, anoint you with compassion, and send you in love. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.